views and opinions expressed on the following podcast are those of the persons appearing on the program and not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada. Welcome to another edition of Club ADHD, the podcast. I'm your cordial and ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc. And yes, we're a little bit behind by one podcast, but hey, I've got ADHD. What can I say? I'm being true to form. Hey, I know what it's like because I have it. I've been there. I am currently there. And if you're struggling, hey, I empathize. I know. And if you're celebrating your ADHD, good for you too. Now, I've been known to do that as well, trying to be the advocate that I am. Of course, Club ADHD, the podcast, is one of three elements of Club ADHD, which is for us, adults with ADHD. We have the podcast, we have the Club ADHD Facebook page, and the Club ADHD Twitter account. If you'd like to check out the links to all of the elements, go to clubadhd.ca. Of course, as I mentioned many times, this is a presentation of CADAC, the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada, a great group of people. I'm happy to work with them, very proud to work with them on various projects. And they really know their stuff, and they help. They're doing good work on our behalf. If you'd like to check out what they're doing and what they've done and various aspects of their website that pertains to us, people with ADHD, actually the whole thing does. Whether you're a child or an adult with ADHD or a parent, or you just want to learn more about ADHD, go to their website. I strongly advise you do that. That's cadac.ca, cadac.ca. More on CADAC in a moment because they are an important element of this edition of Club ADHD, the podcast. But first, I got to tell you, I'm recording this on a very special day in the Christian calendar. Christmas Eve Day, 2018. Yes, it is hectic out there. I've been out there and I've been known to start my shopping, not to end my stop. Well, yeah, and but to start my shopping on this very day, on the 24th, but not this year. A round of applause for me. Oh, boy. I started yesterday. I don't normally do that, but I did. I did 90% of my shopping yesterday. I make that 95%. I'm a bad guy with numbers, but I feel relieved. And normally I would do all my Christmas wrapping the night before on Christmas Eve. Very stressful. I did the wrapping last night. Another round of applause for me. I only have a couple of small, very small things to wrap, and I'm way ahead of the game. My game, at least. I know there are some people out there who are done with their shopping before December rolls around, and my hat's off to you, but I'm not wearing a hat. Sorry. Sorry, old chap. Sorry. But we people with ADHD, we like the thrill and the excitement of putting things off and getting it done at the last minute. Like this podcast. Well, no, I know. It's a Monday, and we're supposed to put them out on Tuesday, which is great. You think, hey, Russ, you're ahead of the game. No, I'm not. I'm a podcast behind. I'll try to make it up next week. Maybe a special New Year's edition. But in any case, that's another story, and I'm sure we all can relate. It's the time of the season where a lot of people are very happy, but there are some people who aren't happy, and some of those people have ADHD because you might be one of them, struggling, maybe financially, because yes, we have been known to struggle financially, especially when it's tough to keep a job or to maintain focus. And when Christmas comes around, you know, a lot of people like to say, oh, it's spiritual. It's not about money and buying gifts for people. Okay, I buy that. Play on words there. But when it comes around to it, when you see everybody doing it, it's tough not to do it. And yes, that's what it's all about for us, right? We see people acting a certain way, and we love to act that way. And we try, but It's always a challenge. And if you are experiencing a challenge this Christmas, all I can say is I empathize. Been there. It's not easy. Just hang in there. Do the best you can. Be creative. That's what I've done in the past when I'm short on cash around this time of year. I try to be as creative as possible. And it always tends to work out, you know? And I hope it works out for you. And if you want, as I had mentioned, to get more information on maybe some groups that you can join in your area, go to the CADAC website, CADDAC.ca, for support groups. And I know, yeah, they're not everywhere. And don't think that, hey, you mentioned Canada. This podcast isn't about Canada per se. Anything that we discuss here for the most part is relevant to anyone anywhere in the world, because we have listeners around the world, and you can pick up bits and pieces of information and implement them wherever you are. And that includes if you want to start your own support group, because as I mentioned, support groups aren't all that accessible, especially to people who live in areas that aren't exactly cosmopolitan, that maybe you live out in the country somewhere, or maybe a rural area, or maybe a smaller town or smaller city or whatever, and they just don't have a support group. Well, you can go on CADAC.ca, and they'll help you. They'll help you create a support group. You know, they'll tell you what to do. So there you go. Well, we've got a very interesting podcast coming up. The interview portion of the program. Well, it's not all about me asking my questions to the guest. No, I'm going to ask your questions. Now, if you frequent the Club ADHD Facebook page, you'll know what I'm saying. Because a while back, I mentioned that we were going to have the CEO and president of CADAC, Heidi Bernhardt, she's been on the podcast before, as a guest. And I suggested that you provide us with some questions. And you did that. Maybe not you personally, but members of Club ADHD, some of them did. And they posted them on the Facebook page. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask Heidi these questions, and we'll see what she has to say about them when it comes to answers. Now, first, I want to maintain that Heidi is not a doctor. She's been in the medical field as a nurse. And yes, she is totally aware of what goes on when it comes to the mental side of things. As a nurse and as an advocate, an ADHD advocate, because in her role with CADAC, she's done it all just about. She's talking to people on a regular basis that know their stuff. She's learned a lot of things. She's lobbied governments, school boards, wherever. She knows what's up. She's in tune. Now, her answers, I don't want you to take them as gospel, because as I mentioned, she's not a doctor, but her advice will put you on the right track. Very knowledgeable person. So that's the setup, okay? And you don't have to go to the Facebook page right now and try to figure out what were the questions. I'll ask the questions. So you just sit back and relax and give it a listen. And even if you didn't provide a question, I'm sure some of the questions that are being asked would have been asked by you. Maybe you have those questions, but you didn't type them in. That's okay. Hey, the answers work for us all. So, without further ado, I present to you the interview portion of Club ADHD, the podcast, this edition. Before we get to the interview, I've got to mention that something a little strange happened. Well, not a little, a lot. As I'm putting together this podcast, I called up the edited interview I did with Heidi. And when I did that, I went to play it back. And all of a sudden, her portion of the interview is missing. You can faintly hear it. I don't know how that happened. I've been doing this for years and years and years and years, editing. I've never had that happen before in my life. I don't know if it can't be my computer. I don't know. Why would it just be hers? So then I'm panicking a little, but I thought, okay, I can go back into my file system, and I can find somewhere the original interview, right? The unedited interview. So that's what I did. I said, okay, so I cleaned it up, put it on the podcast just about, and I went to play it back, and all of a sudden I have these little electronic glitches in my portion of the interview, which again has never happened. I don't know how that got on there. It sounds like, well, I won't get into it, but it's a mystery. So it's one of those Twilight Zone things. I hope it doesn't take away from the interview. I don't think they do. It's annoying for me because I know they're there. I can hear little glitches. But it shouldn't be bothersome. If it is, I apologize. I just don't have the time to go back and rework my portion or re-record my portion. I want this interview to be true to form. But in any case, strange things are happening, you know? And a couple of other strange things, I won't get into it, but as I'm putting this together, it's as if somebody's up there saying, hey, I'm going to mess with you. I don't know. Is it a Christmas Eve thing? I don't know. But in any case, now you know the story behind the story. With us ADHD people, it's always dramatic. Oh, boy. So now, let's get to the interview with the CEO and president of CADAC, the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada, Heidi Bernhardt. And before we get to your questions, I asked Heidi, what's new at CADAC?
Well, I've just spent the last several days doing a document on our 2018 accomplishments, which is exhausting. Writing it how we remembered everything we did in 2018.
But that's good, though. You had a lot of accomplishments. Do a lot. Any one or two stand out? All kinds of stuff. And if you want to get more information on that, and you don't have to reside in Ontario, anywhere in Canada, or the world for that matter, just visit the website at caddac.ca. Now, Heidi, I had mentioned to our members here of Club ADHD that you were going to be on, and if they'd like to present some questions for you. And of course, you're not the end-all to beat-all when it comes to ADHD. You're not a physician per se, but you are in the medical field. So I just want to reiterate that these are your opinions, and we won't hold you to anything as far as legalities, but we have quite a few different questions here from people who would like your take on them. So if you would like to get going here, I'll present the first one. Okay, it says, this is from Daniel. What are some good strategies that you can suggest for forgetfulness on simple things like remembering what to get for work or people's names when you have chosen to not take ADHD medication as an adult? Any tips there?
That's a really, really difficult question, because of course we know difficulty with memory are four sort of symptoms or impairments, ADHD, and then, also choosing not to move medication.
Sure, yeah.
And a lot of strategies for ADHD are so individual, it's difficult to pinpoint one or two. I mean, obviously, things like positive reminders, writing things down, all those typical things. The difficulty is with most adults with ADHD, they either hate those strategies or they love those strategies.
Right.
Individual, and very often, adults will share with me they've got to-do lists, their desk is just covered with oftentimes those strategies fail, and even the electronic reminders, we say to especially in the workplace, the reminders have to be very, very irritating or annoying.
Right.
They will just disrupt them, right? They just become a piece of the background noise.
Yeah.
When they pop up. Also limiting your distractions can be helpful in helping you remember the things you have to remember. Because I don't have ADHD, but even with my busy life, I find that I'm trying to remember things, and I've constantly got pop-ups with emails coming in, and reminders and interruptions. My usually fairly good memory kind of goes out the window.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to keep those distractions.
And for the record, your husband has ADHD, as does your son, right?
Well, okay.
So you're no stranger to that. I have to remind myself to take the medication. Sometimes I forget, which is a little. Right. Right. Good advice. Now, I'm going to tie something in here with another question that's somewhat along the same vein. Let me see here. It says, Star Tilson says, or asks, what should a person look for when choosing an ADHD coach? If a coach has ADHD, can that be a benefit or a problem?
An ADHD coach, but a lot of ADHD coaches will work together with professional fertilizers as well. Mm-hmm. So what we find is that, as with ADHD, if the organization strategies are put in place, so, you know, the actual color coding is done, or the baskets to keep this, or the filing system to keep that, it's much easier for them to keep it up. But expecting them to set up those organization strategies on their own to start with is near impossible. So, you know, by using those professionals, it's helpful. Then you've got to actually meet with a coach. Very often coaches will offer a first-time session for free. And a lot of the interaction for coaching as well as with medical professionals really depends on the jive of the personalities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some adults with ADHD do far better with a gentle touch, and
right.
Others really need that hammer for the job. You know, when we talk next week, I'm going to hold you accountable, and you better have a good excuse if you have a different way you ask you to do, right?
Right.
So it depends on your personality, what works best for you, and how that coach works, right? And
sure.
We don't have accreditation for coaches in Canada, so again, really stress doing your due diligence and speaking with other adults who have some good experience.
I could imagine someone thinking to themselves that, why is this person acting this way to me? And get so hyper-focused on what this person is telling them, like, you better get this done now, that they lose track of what it is they're supposed to do. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's one of the big keys with coaching. I mean, a lot of the strategies around time management and organization, you can find them online and with all kinds of, you know,
yeah.
Actually, find them. It's implementing them and somebody holding you accountable.
Right. I often say that we make great vice presidents, but lousy presidents. Okay. Yeah, you got to have somebody looking over your shoulder. Let's hop onto this one. Now, this is somewhat unique, and I'm not familiar with this, and maybe you are or you aren't, but I'll ask it anyway. Rebecca was commenting on something called rejection-sensitive dysphoria. Do you know anything about that? Yeah.
A person with ADHD is reading the social cues incorrectly, or they're putting a lot of emphasis on something that they perceive as a slight when the intention of the other person was never actually to do a slight. And again, it has to do with a lot of the misperceptions that people with ADHD have around social interactions
right.
And this kind of thing. Dr. Brown talks about adults with ADHD sometimes going on for days in this emotional turmoil.
Sure.
Why didn't that person say hello to me? Or, you know, what did I do wrong? And all this kind of thing. When the person really actually didn't mean it that way. So, I would recommend getting a hold of his book. There's also some,
especially webinars and my doctor brands floating around on that specifically. And this is actually something that cognitive behavior therapy.
Right. That's what I was thinking, yeah. So his name again is, it's Dr. Brown. What was his?
Yeah, Thomas Brown.
Thomas Brown. Okay, so Google that, folks. I'm sure there are a lot of people who can relate. Just a fancy name for saying stinking thinking. Okay, so we covered that one. Let's go to this one. Do medications have anything to do with lower sex drive and anxiety? What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, very often, yes, Strattera is not as helpful for it. I think that question mentioned motivation. And we see that with ADHD problems with motivation, and sometimes stimulant medication will help with that when non-stimulant medication won't. But I have seen the two medications, a non-stimulant paired with a low dose. So we don't get the side effects of increased anxiety, but we do get a bit of that boost that a stimulant medication will give us. So you need to find an expert physician in ADHD who's willing to, mix the medications and like that, because of a non-stimulant doctor might be a little reluctant.
Right. Getting into uncharted territory, perhaps, for them.
Yeah, well, they're familiar. When you're going to have an expert in ADHD who would probably have several patients that, they have done that group, and then they're much more familiar and comfortable with ADHD medications.
Okay. Let's go back to the questions now. And Debbie, this is a new one for me. She's asking about, what are your thoughts on ADHD? I believe its cause is due to early trauma. And she mentioned something about Gabor Mate. Not familiar with that.
Gabor Mate.
Mate. See, I can't even say it. Say the name. His name. Her name. I don't know.
ADHD, but that's sort of what we consider, at least the trauma to the brain afterwards is what we kind of call secondary ADHD. The vast majority of ADHD is hereditary.
I'm going to expand on that since you mentioned it. Is there any ties with, say, cerebral palsy and ADHD if you know, you're talking about trauma? Are you aware of that at all? Or?
You know what? Not really. There's so many areas that we're lacking in research, you know, on the ADHD. Obviously, we know that any type of brain trauma, we know that children and people with FASD, brain trauma, will have very, very high incident rates of ADHD. We basically don't see kids with FASD without ADHD, right? So we do know, that type of brain trauma. But generally, when you talk to people, they're pretty good at being able to trace this back.
Right.
History.
Right.
And then if they're not, and it's totally out of the blue, then, yes, we can start looking at other things. But again, we're still really not up on our research on exactly what causes ADHD. They are now finding more of the genes that are involved in this, but even that gets me up. I mean, we're seeing it's more complex than we ever thought.
All right, let's go to another question here from Marika or Marika. I'm sorry if I mangled your name, but here's your question. She starts off by just mentioning about ADHD. The focus seems to be more towards children than adults. Then she goes on to say, can you shed some light on which behaviors are more prominent in adults versus children and the different ways adults and children manage their symptoms? Right. Yeah.
You'll see sort of the knee-jerking and the finger-tapping and, that type of thing. But when you talk to adults with ADHD, they will frequently mention feeling that their brain is racing, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You're talking about big consequences, so that is a concern. And there's a different presentation we see in ADHD as someone ages is why actually DSM-5 changed their requirements for adult ADHD from being able to see it in 6 of the different symptoms to 5, because we knew that outward hyperactivity, we didn't really see as much. And we're getting much better at educating medical professionals, adult psychiatrists, or family physicians in what to look for in adult ADHD. So the executive functioning impairment that we see in ADHD, the difficulty with that is as someone ages, their support system for their executive functioning impairment, so their parents and sometimes their teachers, goes away, right?
Right.
But But the load on executive functioning as someone ages increases. So not only, you know, are we supposed to be able to function in school or at work, we also need to function in the home environment, do household chores, do parenting, have adult relationships, be able to figure out finances, spending, buying groceries, making meals, right? So the load on executive functioning and organization and time management and all that gets worse and worse. Obviously, you know, our problem solving, our social interaction, all of that stuff gets so much more complicated.
Sure.
And that's when we take our scaffolding and support away, right? So it is. In a lot of ways, ADHD in adulthood is far, far more complex.
Sure.
Than childhood, because we're also talking about coexisting disorders, right?
Yep.
By the time adults get to adulthood, especially if we have untreated ADHD, it's quite uncommon to have just ADHD.
Mm-hmm. Almost always something else. Amen to that, and far more stressful too. Now, I could also, from my own point of view, that if someone is diagnosed at as an adult, that it would be a bit of a surprise. It was for me because I had the preconceived notion about ADHD being a kid thing, and what, I have ADHD. I don't run around a classroom. Then again, I'm not in a classroom, but you're right. It is very impactful when it comes to the ramifications. Sure.
So we have to disable and get rid of those before we can put in proper coping.
Right. Booze and drugs and all that stuff. And I would think, too, that there is some validity to the old saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. I mean, the life habits that we acquire before being diagnosed are already established, and it would be, I would think, that much more challenging to really redirect one's life. Sure.
To, you know, to actually go back, see some professionals, and look at things like good, healthy, you know, lifestyle, exercise, and diet, not the soy elimination diet.
Yeah. Sure.
Medication is just one part of the equation if you choose to go that way.
Right.
But, you know, there are also things like coaching and mindfulness and CBT, cognitive behavior therapy. So there's lots of other things that can be beneficial.
Now, you brought something to my mind here that I want to ask. There's a lot to be said for fish oil, and you can get it in various types of forms. Is there any benefit that you've seen when it comes to, you know, ingesting fish oil and ADHD? Does it help? Have you seen anything about that?
Significant benefits in there. So What I say to parents and adults is, hey, it's not an unhealthy thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a healthy thing to do anyway. It's not overly expensive. Talk to your doctor about it. But again, if you, especially if you're just sort of getting the over-the-counter omega-3.
Right.
I would count on it helping your ADHD symptoms very much.
Well, if you ever wanted to do a study on fish oil, on the oil, I can attest on the taste, no good. In any case, I'm thinking of the old days with cod liver oil. Okay, yeah. I've tasted some of my wife got me some coconut-based, and I'm just shuddering just thinking about it. Let's get back to the questions before I get further ill. Let's see. This is from Lisa. She says, how do you deal with ADHD and comorbid anxiety? It's so frustrating for me because Ritalin and Concerta make me feel anxious, so I can't take a helpful dose. Meanwhile, the non-stimulant, Strattera, while helpful for anxiety, does nothing to help with motivation and procrastination, at least for her. Yeah.
You heard the last question about, the side effect of stimulant medication for anxiety. So, yes, so sometimes that combination of a non-stimulant with a low dose of a stimulant can solve that problem.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to find a good expert in ADHD who specializes in medication treatment who knows how to do that. Generally, with the higher doses of the stimulant medication, where we get issues with anxiety. I mean, the other question is the anxiety being treated as well?
Right.
So sometimes we need both disorders treated separately.
Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts about caffeine? Good, bad, ugly?
Well, I mean, caffeine is one of those things that people use to self-medicate, right? So, caffeine, cola, I mean, the high-energy drinks, most people don't know that nicotine is aggressive as a stimulant. So, anything that's a stimulant could be potentially
right, yeah.
So, I mean, the question is, why would you want to use something that's really regulated, is not very effective, and has all the health risks?
Okay. Yep.
So one thing I do have to say is people have to be very careful not to double dose on stimulants by using natural products or any of these high caffeine
Oh, really? That could be a big problem.
Yeah, well, especially these really high caffeine energy drinks, they can be quite risky if you're taking high doses with your stimulant medication, so you have to be careful.
So as far as mentally or physically or... Oh, okay, yeah.
Because people kind of think that if it's a natural product, it's safer. There's still stimulants.
Right.
So you're basically doubling up or whatever.
Okay, I'm sure a few light bulbs are going off over people's heads over that one. That's good to know. Let's see. We have another one. I think our last question is... Right, and I've got. Well, I'm going to throw out a question since we are talking about stimulants and maybe not so stimulant. A loaded question, of course, in Ontario and in Canada, it's legal now. Marijuana. What are your thoughts? Have there been any studies that it can help people with their ADHD? I know some people swear by it. Some people say, "Yeah, it's not for me." Are there any studies out there to validate any of this?
Very interesting presentation on marijuana
Right.
So they're drawn to having some people with ADHD, and we're drawn into the feeling they get because it helps them feel relaxed. The difficulty is it generally makes focus and concentration worse, does not help out with motivation.
Right. Oh, yes. It's, I know what you mean. Yeah. Okay.
So we have to be a little bit careful.
Yep.
This kind of thing. And my advice to somebody who was planning to go that way is speak to your doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Your doctor to do the THC level before and after, because if you're going that route because you think there's no THC involved, just make sure before you do go down that route.
Okay. All right, we have one more question to ask, or I have one. It's from Harold, and Harold asks a very common question. Is it possible to grow out of ADHD?
Strategies along the way so their symptoms no longer impairing.
Okay. Right. Right. Sure. Right. Right. I would tend to agree. It probably doesn't leave you. It's just the way that you handle it. And if you're in the right situation that coexists with your ADHD, especially in your career, then you're ahead of the game. Okay. Well, that was good. We had some very interesting questions here. People were very excited about having you on and to give your advice. And that's what it is, right? Advice. It's not to don't take it verbatim. Still go to your doctor to figure out what you want to do. Great. That's CADDAC.ca. And just before I let you go, I have to ask this because I'm sure a lot of people are wondering, because when we get on the Facebook page and the Twitter account for Club ADHD, it's always clear that people are uncertain about how people are perceiving ADHD. In your, well, your day-to-day, you're really involved in it. Do you see it evolving that, you know, ADHD is starting to become accepted and understood, say, compared to 10 years ago? Okay. Yeah. The next day? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Right.
Because those with ADHD are not speaking up.
Right.
Talking to their government representatives or wherever about ADHD, even talking to their close family members. Or, when Uncle Ned across the table, throws out some comment about ADHD not being real.
Yeah. Great. Well, it's a never-ending battle, and it's a battle hopefully will be won someday, but we don't see it in the near future. But if we don't, start with a small step, we're not going to be able to finish the race. And I want to thank you for your involvement in all this and actually spearheading organizations such as KDAC and the work that you do. You don't have a large foundation when it comes to employees. I mean, there's only two of you technically and a bunch of volunteers. So a round of applause for you and everybody involved for all your efforts. Yeah, sure. Well, thank you again, and we'll have to get you on soon, and we'll talk some more about this. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule to answer some questions. Well, I gotta say, and yes, I'm biased, that was pretty interesting. I hope you feel the same way. And if you didn't get a chance to send in a question, well, we'll give you another chance. Matter of fact, we're working on something that'll be coming up in the new year. Now, sooner than later, we're going to do a live version of Club ADHD, the podcast. What do you mean live version, you're asking? Or maybe you're not, but I'm guessing. Well, it's going to be just like a radio program, a live call-in radio program, but it'll be on the internet, and it'll be easy to listen to. Just a couple of clicks will get you to us, and you'll be able to listen at a specific time and day, and if you missed it, we'll record it. And if you like, you can phone up and ask your question by phone, just like you would on a phone and talk show. And we'll answer it as best we can. And if we don't know the answer, we will make it up. No, we'll tell you. We'll try to find out. But it should be fun and interesting. And even if you want to phone in just to tell your story, that's fine. That would be interesting. And speaking of telling your story, we just had Heidi Bernhardt from KDAC, the Center for ADHD Awareness, and we'd like to thank them for supporting this broadcast and all elements of Club ADHD. But they have something going on called ADHD Speaks. And yes, I'm involved in it. I help out with it. And if you're new to that, I'm going to tell you briefly what it's all about. Go to their website. Check it out. What we're asking for you to do is take your cell phone, take your iPhone or your whatever, your Android, and take a video of you telling your story about your ADHD story. Maybe you're experiencing some problems or benefits or whatever. Stories of the past. If you have ADHD, well, we want to hear from you. Or maybe you're a parent of someone who has ADHD. Or maybe a friend. Tell us your story and why we're asking for these stories. You send them in to us. We want to just put them all together. So when we address people, be it in government, scholastically, wherever, we can say that, hey, ADHD is real. Don't believe us? Check this out. Check these stories out. You don't believe us, huh? So we want to take all of your stories, put them together, and create one big story saying, yes, this is a real thing, because a lot of people think that it isn't. And the sooner they realize ADHD is real, the better everyone will be, because we do have things to offer. We do. But we do struggle. And society, and yeah, am I blaming society for our struggle? Well, sort of. You know, we're not looking for blame as far as our excuses, but you know, when people don't understand something that you have, and sometimes are downright ignorant when it comes to, I don't know, addressing it. You know, ADHD, to a lot of people, or as they refer to it as ADD, you know, it's to be laughed at or joked about or, it's just an excuse. Well, it's not an excuse. It's a real thing. We do try and try and try and try, and we want to be active members of society, and many people are who have ADHD, and kudos to them. But there are a lot of people who are suffering, some in silence, because they're afraid to say that they have ADHD for fear of the negative stigma that happens. Are you one of them? Well, we're trying to break that stigma. Now, I'm not afraid of saying that I have ADHD, and I don't want to say that, hey, you're a bad person if you're afraid to say you have it. All I'm asking is that you get involved with us. You don't have to state your name when setting in your video. You can do it from the neck down. You can just do it as a recording, an audio recording, or maybe just type up your story and send it to us. We won't say your name if you don't want us to. We just want all of us to get together, because if we don't help ourselves, I keep saying this, no one else will. And we can do it collectively. And it doesn't matter if you live in Canada or somewhere else. Send them in anyway, right? ADHD is the type of thing that knows no geographic boundaries. Although in some countries, some people just don't get it, and you know, they don't want to get it. And yeah, they think that these people are crazy. I happen to speak with the media from South Korea, and they want to understand. They had to come over here to North America to get a better take on ADHD, because in South Korea, it doesn't exist. Well, yes, it really does exist, but as far as governments are concerned and various other important people, it doesn't exist. They don't address it. Yes, it does exist. So we want to hear from you. We'd love to hear from you. You'll do yourself and all of us a great favor. Again, if you'd like to reach out to me, you can. You can go to clubadhd.ca, hit the envelope icon, and you'll get my address there and send off your email. Maybe a comment about the podcast. Hey, I'd love to hear from you about that, especially if it's a positive comment. Negatives, not so keen on that. Hey, we people with ADHD, we're a little sensitive, right? But in any case, I'd love to hear from you. So that's all we have for now. It's Christmas time. I hope it's going to be a good one for you. I wish you all a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year. We'll be talking to you again, maybe before the New Year, because I have to get caught up. I'm one behind. But in case I don't, we'll talk to you again in the new year, 2019 or 2019 or however you want to say it. Time is flying, especially as we get older. What's up with that? Why couldn't it go slower? When we're a kid, we feel that time is just going too slow. We can't wait to be an adult. And when we get older, as an older adult, we'd love to be a kid again. Oh, we're never happier. Someday we will be. In any case, this is your cordial and ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc, wishing you a very Merry Christmas. And again, I ask you to spread the word. What word is that? ADHD is real. Bye for now.